I recently met an individual who is the most important text messenger. And for those of you who don't know what text messaging is when you take your cell phone and you're able to plug in a message, a short text message, and you just press the send button and it instantly goes to a recipient. Well, let me tell you about Chagai Levin, who does the most important type of text messaging that there is. It's a type of text messaging that saves lives. Chagai Levin is a soldier in the Israeli army, and he's in charge of the emergency response team for the entire Golan Heights. If something bad happens, it's Chagai's job to make sure that the appropriate people respond to it. During the war, Chagai was very busy. And he showed me how he used text messaging to save lives. You see, when Chagai received word of an attack, with one press of the button on his cell phone, he would instantly notify 210,000 people that an attack was imminent. This quick response saved lives in Israel this past year, just this past war. Chagai was just one of the people I met the other week when I traveled with a group of Sinai members as part of a larger Federation delegation to Israel on a solidarity mission. And I'd like to introduce you to some of the other people that I met on this trip, on this mission. And then I'd also like to tell you about three young men who I could not meet. In Haifa, which is once again a bustling metropolis, I met a Russian-born security guard at a local coffee shop. I was wearing my kippah, I was about to enter the coffee shop, and the security guard and I engaged in a conversation involving an intricate halachic concern, an intricate law about kashrut. And he wanted to know from me if I thought that this law rendered the coffee, which was sold at his shop, not kosher. I thought, only in Israel could a rabbi engage in a conversation with a security guard about the intricacies of keeping kosher. After we talked coffee and keeping kosher, the conversation changed to something far more important. The security guard asked me if I was from Haifa, and I told him no, that I was visiting from Los Angeles. He smiled, he thanked me for coming to Israel, and he asked me to tell you one thing. He told me to tell you that Israel needs to see you. As we parted company, his last words were, please come back with more people. And the northern town of Nahariya, which as you know was targeted by Hezbollah throughout the war, I met Menashe. Menashe is a 90-year-old immigrant from Hungary. And Menashe lives with his wife Evelina on the third floor of an apartment in Nahariya. The bomb shelter in their apartment building is located in the basement. So that meant that every time the sirens went off, notifying the residents of an attack, Menashe, 90 years old, and his wife had to climb down four flights of stairs and then climb back up four flights of stairs to their apartment once the threat was over. On the last day of the war, Menashe and his wife Evelina had to go up and down the stairs 24 times. I asked Menashe, how did this affect him? And he smiled and he said, I'm strong. It wasn't a physical problem. But then the smile faded from his face, and he said that he wasn't hurt physically, but what it was a baya nafshi, a problem of the soul. He told me that after surviving the Holocaust, after surviving communism, and coming to Israel, his homeland, it pained his soul to know that after all he had experienced, and while living in the land of Israel, that his life was once again threatened. Menashe's last words were similar to the security guard. He told me to tell you that you're all invited to Nahariya to visit him and his wife Evelina. In Kiryat Shmona, which was also ravaged by the war, I bought a bottle of water at a local makolet, at a convenience shop. So the shopkeeper and I began to talk, and I asked him if he was okay, if his family was okay, and he said, they were fine. I responded, Baruch Hashem, thank God. And his sad eyes looked down, and he said, yes, my family's fine, but a missile did blow up my home. Ben Gurion once said, to be a realist in Israel, one needs to believe in miracles. To be a realist in Israel, one needs to believe in miracles. And I saw and met people who made miracles into reality. I met hospital workers, high school students who volunteered throughout the war helping to gather food and supplies for the elderly. We met social workers. We met members of the Joint Distribution Committee, and so many more people, all of whom made the miraculous a reality, people who saved lives. And now, in so many ways, the entire country is an embodiment of Ben-Gurion's thought, because a miracle is taking place once again in Israel. After all the destruction, life is returning to normal. People are back at work. The children are back at school. The stores are open and the restaurants are bustling. And the Israelis, our brothers and sisters in Israel, they're waiting to show you their miracle. They have one message to send you. Come to Israel. Support the Jewish people. On our mission, we did not have the opportunity to meet three young men. And the entire nation of Israel and the larger Jewish world waits to greet these young men. Gilad Shalit, Eldad Regev, Ehud Goldwasser, all kidnapped by terrorists while defending our homeland. And we cannot forget them. We cannot afford to allow them to be left behind, to fade from our memories, to fade from our thoughts, to fade from our prayers. We were in Gilad's home village, in his next door neighbor's yard, in fact. We were looking at Gilad Shalit's house. And throughout the town, throughout the village, there are banners hanging from every house. And they say, Gilad, Michachim Lecha Babayit. Gilad, we are waiting for you at home. While his family, while his friends wait for Gilad's return, I urge us to take action. Let's wait for Gilad. Let's wait for Eldad. Let's wait for Ehud. And let's ensure through our actions that they are returned home where they belong, Let's ensure that they are returned to their families to celebrate Rosh Hashanah this year, the new year, with their families. We must act. We must write letters, sign petitions, speak to politicians, support causes, because we cannot forget these soldiers. This Shabbat, I want to urge you to do two things. I want you to think about what you can do for these soldiers, Gilad, Eldad, and Ehud. I want you to think about how you can act to assure their return to their families. And then I want you to think about one last thing: how you can answer the request of the entire nation of Israel at this time. They asked me to tell you to come to Israel. So my question for you today is, when are you going? Shabbat Shalom.